And good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance. Good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. And we're about to have a teaching on our warfare, on spiritual warfare. I'm trying to type it up now, so hang on. Okay. Now, what we've done, Dr. Stillman and some other pastors has agreed to come on, and they can join us. You can call me in. I'll be in the room. You can ask me questions and answers, but not Chaplain Durden. He's just assistant. He's not on staff. He's a friend, assistant, and learning the ministry of deliverance. So Chaplain Durden is going to summarize this teaching, and we're going to get started with our warfare. Okay, praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're about to get ready to start our live broadcast. Okay, good evening, and welcome to our broadcast here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're simultaneously streaming within our own radio station at www.livedeliverance.com. I want to thank YouTube for allowing us to be on air, and we have a very powerful teaching that we need to get into. It's our spiritual warfare, our warfare. And most Christians don't realize that we are dealing with spiritual warfare. We're dealing with spiritual warfare. So I want you to take notes, sit back and relax, enjoy yourself, learn something from the Word of God, study the Bible for yourself. Study the Bible, please, for yourself. You have to study the Bible for yourself. You have to study the Bible for yourself. A lot of people don't know a lot of things because they will not study. We can't afford to do that. Let's get into this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, by the pulling down of strongholds or fortresses in the NAS, in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. These words are addressed to the church. We are alerted that there is warfare going on everywhere in the world. There are demonic spirits behind it. The devil is really running rampant. Satan is having a legal license on Christians because Christians don't know how to fight spiritual warfare. 85% of your problem is spiritual. The rest is probably fleshly. Our battle is a spiritual warfare fought against spiritual beings with spiritual weapons. And Ephesians 6:12 is a key verse in the understanding of the kind of battle in which we're engaged and the nature of the enemy that we encounter. His name is Satan and demons, and they're real. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our warfare is described as wrestling, a close quarter combat style conflicts and opponents to either with the best skill, strength, and endurance. And our skills is based on what we know in God's Word. Satan's skills is based on what you don't know that you would give him to attack you. In your mind, the spiritual warfare goes with that. Where these little negative thoughts come from? Why I'm thinking this? Why is someone telling me to hate this person? Why is someone telling me to go kill myself? When people are hearing voices, they're hearing demons. The conjum. The Devil Made Me Do It. Please watch it. It's a good movie. It's a true story. This thing is real. They'll talk to your mind. People having being voices talking to them. Stay away from Zozo. That's a demonic spirit that's dealing with the Ouija board. When you open up yourself with these types of things as a Christian, if you're born again Christian, you violate Deuteronomy 18. God does not want us to be dealing with this stuff. And the door that opens this stuff is zodiac signs. This is for born-again Christians. We're supposed to, the stars are ordained by God, Psalms chapter 8. So you can't let nobody read the future for you. Don't nobody know the future but the Lord. But a familiar spirit will, and he will trick you Now, I want you to understand that our strength is in the Lord through spiritual exercise, daily prayers, Bible study, fasting, fellowshipping with believers, praise, worship, walking in holiness by faith with the Lord to become strong in your soul, body, mind, and spirit. If you don't know the rules of engagement, you're going to lose. And the rules of engagement is to know the Bible. The confrontation between Satan and Jesus is the most prime example that I can use in Scripture. Where is that the devil and Jesus went at it, and they used words. And Jesus out-whooped them because he is the Word. In Matthew chapter 4, it is written, it is written. When it is truth, the devil don't like truth. The enemy is not fleshly but spiritual. Thus, it is important to keep the battle on a spiritual plane and not look at the physical person. Our weapons and armor are not carnal but spiritual. Paul constantly reminds us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thoughts can come into your mind, and if you don't recognize them, oh, well, that's just me talking. No, if it's an evil thought and the Bible says you'll think on it, check out Ezekiel 38:10. That's very shocking to see that we can have thoughts that can come to us. Hate that person. Hate him. You don't even know him. You want to hate him. These are just examples of what demons can do to a person. Don't take your medication. Trust God. Let me advise everybody, especially with the youth, please get your vaccination. My God, a lot of this can be really alleviated if people stop believing these lies. Go get vaccinated. Get your vaccination. Please. I had my vaccination. God has given us the understanding of medical technology to get a cure for this powerful plague. Go and get your vaccination. Man is not our enemy, but Satan that operates in man is our enemy because the devil does the things of man. For example, Jesus, the Son of God, rebuked Peter as Satan. When Peter did not set his mind on God's interest, but man's, Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me." Matthew 16:23. Jesus was aware that Satan was behind Peter's fleshly reasons. And our fleshly minds, man, is where the warfare really starts. Think on a good thing. If you're in a bad situation in your life, you are looking for a job, you are in a position where the devil's going to make you go do something wrong, don't do it. God will never go tell you to go rob no bank. The Lord will never go tell you to go and steal from somebody. Don't do that. Don't let these thoughts control your thoughts and think a good thing. Or think the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Study the word and believe it and wait so that the word of God can press and mature in your life. See, the natural mind, man, does not understand the things of the spirit. And we are mostly trying to deal with our problems in the natural, 1 Corinthians 2:14. You can't do it like that. These are spiritual problems that need to be done in the spirit with Christ and his word. When someone's flesh attack our flesh, awareness of spiritual warfare tends to elude us. You get upset at the person. Look at the person, not the spirit in the person. We must continue to remind ourselves that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. Fleshly warfare never results in spiritual victory. You can also look at Colossians 2:18 with the principalities that we're dealing with also. In Ephesians 6:12 contains four deceptive words or phases which gives us a clear picture of the nature of our enemy. 1, principalities. 2, powers. 3, rulers of darkness of this world. 4, spiritual hosts of wickedness. These phases do not seem to present our outline of Satan's hierarchy, but rather conveys the basic characteristics of Satan's kingdom. Thus, we wrestle against. That's what we're wrestling against. An organization kingdom by the devil. The word principality in the Greek, A-R-C-H-E, meaning the first person or thing, is a series of ranks. The plural form signifies those leadership. Paul used these words to signify to specifically spiritual beings holding domination over other areas of the earth. Now, you got to understand that Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. God's allowed for a reason. Thus, Satan's kingdom is organized. He rules over a legions of evil spirits and beings. But commonly, definition of a principality is a territorial rule by a prince. Satan also delegates authority through his demons. It means authority, which is evil, which does not bring anything pleasant to mankind, which kills, which steals, which destroys. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. He wants to destroy your marriage, Satan. Satan wants to destroy you as a human being. Satan hates mankind. He even wanted to argue over the body of Moses in Jude 1:8-9. I mean, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, yet Michael the archangel, when contends about the body of Moses, does not bring in a real accusation, but said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. He wanted to dispute the body of Moses, man dead. What would he want to do? He hates mankind. And you have to understand that the things that we're dealing with are spiritual. There are spiritual forces going on everywhere, all over the world. And this battle is going to end when Christ returns. But before it ends, you got to know how to deal with the enemy. Jesus says, I give you authority. You don't have to go call somebody to tell you where it's at in the Bible. Go study it. You don't have to do that. Go, please, study. We are in a time of the last days. You know, the world is getting worse and worse. And the only victory that we have for mankind is Jesus Christ. There's no other name whereby man can be saved but by the name of Jesus, Acts 4:12. We wrestle against the world forces of darkness. The world is not ruled by man, but by spiritual powers. The Word of God declares that Satan is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one in 1 John 5:19. These verses make it clear why our battle is not against flesh and blood. All the evil enticed throughout human history is a reflection of the powers of the heavens that rule the world. The evil human rulers of this world are pawns of Satan. Hitler was a pawn of Satan to destroy God's children and kill 3 million people. That's wrong. There's no good to that, to destroy no human person that God created. That's the devil. Furthermore, the darkness against which we are wrestling is a spiritual darkness. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. He hates light. There is no light in him. On the other hand, Jesus is light. His disciples are the light of the world, and his word is light. Light is a mighty weapon in despite of darkness. It defeats the kingdom of Satan, and Jesus and his disciples have a monopoly of light and love given by God as they believe the Messiah, Yeshua. Wicked spirits in character of the enemy is wicked. It is malicious. It deliberately intends to do harm. The goal of this worldwide promotion of such wickedness is perversion, greed, witchcraft, New Age, philosophy, Satanism, believing in enchantments, believing in crystal balls. Don't nobody know the future but God. Stay away from it. The concluding chapter of Ephesians 6:12, the heavenlies tells us that the battle is fought in the heavens. Paul was called into three heavens. There are three heavens according to the Bible. Paul says he was called up into the third heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere. The second heaven is space. The third heaven is the throne of God. And in the atmosphere, this is where this stuff goes on. If you study Daniel, the 10th chapter, you saw that Daniel's prayers was being held for 21 days. In Daniel 10:13, it was hell for 21 days. Why? Prayer. This is why you have to pray. And sometimes when you're praying, you may say, oh, it looks like it's getting worse. In the spirit realm, press on. I was on a bus and my spirit began to trouble me. And I began over some things that the Lord is dealing with me on. When we're dealing with spiritual warfare, look at yourself. Look at people around you. Do you know you can do a lot of good by praying to a person instead of talking to them? Just pray for them. Lord, show me how to pray for this person. I come in the name of Jesus. Pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your supervisors. Pray for whoever God put in your spirit to pray. The power of prayer is very powerful. Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, take this cup away from me. I don't want to die like that. That's the human part of Christ. See, when we don't do spiritual warfare, we get in the flesh. Sarah told Abraham, go get a baby by Hagar. Go. You can have the Egyptian male servant. And then when he obeyed her, she said, get rid of it. That's the flesh. And that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to do things in the flesh, not in the spirit realm. The spirit realm protects us from the enemy. The Holy Spirit protects us, gives us wisdom, counsel, understanding of what we're dealing with in everyday life. Christianity should be based on everyday life, not some person prophesying you in 9 days you're going to get $17 million. It don't work like that. Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord. God has given us weapons to deal with the wicked one. He has given us the armor of God. We have to put it on. We have to pray into the Spirit. We have to pray. It's not easy. But he has given us and delegated that authority to us. We have to operate in it. We have to operate in it. Because if we don't operate in it, we will lose this war. In character, our enemy is wicked. Remember that. He is very, very wicked. Ain't nothing good to the devil, Satan. The first sin was not with Adam and Eve. It was the devil because of his pride. We have to have strategy. To call to war has now been issued by the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus. Now, the 1990s was a decade of spiritual warfare. In the 80s and 90s, when you had Win Worley, man, Derek Prince, Frank Hammond, I really believe those pioneers of the deliverance ministry has laid the foundation, because I believe that the Lord knew that the devil would try to come into church. Satan says that there's a seat of the synagogue of Satan, and people can come and distort the gospel by not using it correctly. The gospel includes love, peace, wisdom, sound mind, power over the enemy, forgiveness, understanding where you are. Your life is hidden in Christ, Colossians 3:3. And when you become a Christian, you have to develop yourself with the fellowship of Christ and God so you can have a strategy to understand what you're dealing with. And I'm finding that some people don't even know. It hurts. The call goes to us. Gideon responded to Gideon's trumpet, was gratified. But now all who answered the sermons was committed to be afraid. As usual, God's work with Raymond, and his glory helps us in times of need. We have grace. Use grace in spiritual warfare. You make a mistake, get back up. Don't sit there and let the devil hit you with condemnation. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose and will, Romans 8:28. Instead of hollering about the problem, complaining about the problem, worrying in the flesh, getting all upset, that ain't going to do you no good. The devil sat back there and laughed at you. Pray ye in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. I was on the bus. I was troubled. And God began to tell me, people have to study. People don't know the Bible. And they confess to be Christians and can't quote nothing, can't. They got to go call somebody to show them a scripture. They got to go listen to a it's okay to listen to pastors. But have the know, sit down with you and the Lord and allow yourself to study that self-approval. A workman who not need to be ashamed, but rightly correcting the word of truth and dividing it righteously and rightly, 2 Timothy 2:15, because there is error. And when you are mistaught, the spirit of error gets in there. And then you're thinking you're doing something and you get angry at God because you was taught wrong. Let the Holy Spirit teach you, the Comforter. He says, don't worry about what you're going to say or how that you say it, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you at that hour what you need to say. Luke 12:11, get into the fellowship with the Holy Spirit in you. Greater than he that is in me, that he is in this world, in you. I don't just get on here and teach. I hear and listen to the Lord. I hear people call and say, hey, man, what do you teach? And I say, Lord, what? And then God will tell me what to teach. I don't prepare no sermons. He say, take no script. I don't have to do that. He doesn't want us to premeditate. Spiritual warfare requires us to depend on Christ and Christ only. Not your natural understanding. That's not spiritual warfare. Not your intellectuality. That is not spiritual warfare. That does the things of man. Not your humanism. Not your ideology. Not your belief. But your faith. And your faith in Jesus for what he says, behold, I give unto you authority over Satan. In my name ye shall cast out demons. Christians are more defensive and not offensive. If you are defensive throughout the history of war, the Germans had a defense line, the Atlantic Wall. Americans walked through it. You can't be defensive to win. In a football game, defense wins Super Bowls. But in the spiritual realm, offense wins spiritual Super Bowls. Because we have the authority. Jesus has taken the place of Melchizedek. Jesus went to hell, Matthew 12:40, 3 days and three nights. He was in the belly of the earth. He took the keys from Satan. He stripped. Our problem is we give the devil place. Ephesians 4:27, give the devil no place in your life. If you got areas of concern where you're falling, ask the Lord to give you grace. But keep fighting. Don't give up. When your check didn't come through, don't start hollering and cussing. That ain't going to do no good. And fussing, that's not going to do you no good. You know, angry for something that you need. The Lord know you need that. And then, instead of going to spiritual warfare, you're going to go tell somebody about your problem. They can't help you if they don't know the word. I go straight to the Lord. People can't help you like the Lord can help you. The Bible tells us we have to put our trust in the Lord, not in man. Psalms 118:8. And we have to put our trust in his word and believe what his word says for us to have victory over the devil. Now, if you don't believe that, then it ain't going to work. You have to have faith that these words that you say, that these words that you say, that these words that you speak will come to pass. Put on the whole armor of God. Each piece of armor is a particular necessity. Although we are sure of victory, we must go into the strength of the Lord as each part to fit into our place in Christ. We are Christian soldiers becoming stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might, not yours. Now, if you're going to deal with spiritual warfare, you can't do it by yourself. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So you're not. Christ is the only one can deal with the devil. Our primary weapons that we have is the name and the blood of Jesus. I'm trying to make this as simple. For those who may not know the Bible, you can still fight spiritual warfare by saying the blood of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm trying to be simple because so many people don't know this. I'm not trying to get deep here. I'm trying to show you what you need to get out your situation. When I'm troubled, I pray in the Holy Spirit. I was so troubled yesterday on the bus. I was just troubled. God began to show me how vulnerable that Christians can be. Throughout this whole week, people call me. See, when I meet a person every day, I can meditate on, okay, why did I meet this person? Why did this person tell me this? And God began at the end of the week on the Sabbath, I asked the Lord, Lord, show me. And throughout this whole week, I've seen people don't know the Bible. I've seen people who will trust in a person and what they say than what the word says. Won't read it for themselves, but they'll trust the person. You can't trust man. You can't trust me. You can't trust nobody but the Lord. You cannot give God's glory to a human being. Yes, the prophets and pastors and stuff, those are positions, but they're also false pastors. They're also false apostles. The Bible says that in 2 Peter 2. So you have to trust the word of God to deal with spiritual warfare. We also have to know our enemy. The Bible gives us many important insights into the workings of the devil. It is important to study these Bible passages to learn as much as possible about our enemy. For example, we must know his limitation. He is not omnipotent, Jesus spoils the principalities and powers and made an open show of them and triumphed over them through the cross at Golgotha. When Jesus died at Golgotha on that cross, he stripped Satan of his power. That's in Colossians 2:15. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil in 1 John 3:8. Jesus has disarmed the devil and taken away his armor, which he thrusts at us. But we got an armor. Jesus ripped it off from him in Luke chapter 11, verse 21 and 22. Satan's methods are three ways that the devil attacks: temptation, Genesis 3, Matthew 4, he would try to tempt you. Satan tempts both Eve and Jesus in the same three ways: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in 1 John 2:16. Satan is good to accuse us. He's the accuser of the brethren, accusations. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. His accusations are in four ways: accusing us to God, accusing God to us, accusing us to ourselves, accusing one another. And when people accuse each other, the devil loves that because he's behind the whole game. You ever seen someone stir up an argument and they leave and y'all fighting? That's just what the devil do. Devil gone, but you're looking at the person. Stop that. Deception. Satan employs deception in three ways: counterfeits, as the occult; mixture, as in cults; substitution, as in false religion and error. His schemes. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices and his purposes. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, as we put on the whole arm of God, we can successfully stand against the wiles, methods, and subtle plans of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. One of Satan's chief objectives is to divide and conquer. Oh, he likes to do that. Anytime he divide and conquer, as a person in the church had called me, how everybody in this particular church, I'm not giving no names or none of that because I don't want nobody suing me and none of that copyright violation, none of that. In my experiences in churches, I've seen people do competition and trying to get a position and won't forgive, but yet they call themselves Christians. You have to forgive people. You have to forgive. Matthew 5:23-24. You can't even do no spiritual warfare if you got bitterness in your heart. Can't do that. You have to forgive. Why? So you can stand in the blood, because the blood protects us from the enemy. We must learn how to attack. Once we have the attack battle plan, by knowing the scriptures, we are able to attack the devil by speaking the word. I just talked to a person who was hysterical, and they were saying, it ain't going to work if I pray. I said, well, now you done lost the battle in spiritual warfare. It ain't going to work. Well, death and life and the power of tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Blessing and cursing, James 3:10. So you just didn't get it done. Repent. Say, it's going to work. So I had to get on the phone and teach this person. I said, and God said, see, they just don't know how to keep confessing. People are impatient. God's kingdom is totally different than your natural understanding. When you're praying, don't stop praying. Don't stop. Wait. Psalms 37, wait on the Lord. He's going to come through. God is not going to leave you, but here come the devil.
Why are you praying like that? You waste your time. Go on there and get you a drink of liquor. Jesus sleep.
And you would actually believe that. Jesus never sleeps. Jesus rose on the third day, and Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He does not sleep. He does not sleep. Make sure that you have a repentant heart, because you can't really do spiritual warfare bitter and mad at someone. That's impossible. You can't do that. You've got to have a repentant heart. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. See, when there is no repentance, the devil is in power to oppress. Therefore, repentance is a necessary and a level of spiritual warfare that terrorized the devil. Daniel confessed the sins of their nation in Daniel 9:4-6 and Nehemiah 1:4-7. Their confession were the preludes to Israel's deliverance from her enemies and the nation release from bondage. As long as sin remains unconfessed, the devil has a legal right to continue his work within your life. Unconfessed sins. I don't care if you've done it 9 times. Get up, ask the Lord to forgive you, and get back up. the righteous fall seven times. Now, I'm not trying to give you a license to sin. I'm talking, because the Bible says, should we continue sin? No, that's in Romans 6:1. But in the everyday life we're living with, we need grace with this thing. We need to be taught. And my heart really hurts when I see people give up on spiritual warfare. No forgiveness. Won't even forgive. You cannot deal with spiritual warfare unless you forgive. In Matthew 18:23-35 records Jesus teaching of the importance of forgiving everyone who has trespassed against us. The one who does not forgive is turned over to the tormentor until he does forgive. In territorial warfare, it is also important that believers must forgive their trespasses, both their past, present. For example, I had a guy who told me, I'm doing spiritual warfare. And he said, I'll never forgive my wife. I said, wait a minute, that's a double heart, Psalm 12:2. You said you're going to do spiritual warfare, but you won't forgive your own self. He said, what you mean? I love myself. I said, you ain't forgiving your wife. Y'all one flesh and one spirit. Oh, yeah, really? I said, go and forgive your wife, man. And when he forgave his wife, they began to pray, and God began to move in their life, and things was able to change. You can't do spiritual warfare if you got hate in your heart. Hate that which is evil. Recognize God's plan for you. Each person is important to God. The Lord has a unique purpose for each individual in his kingdom. The same is true for nations and cities. What obstacle has the devil can give a person more than what God? For example, God has a purpose for Israel. In Gideon's day, the nation had fallen into idolatry before Israel could be delivered and pursued her calling in God. The altar of Balaam had to be torn down. God instructed Gideon, take thy father's young bullock and throw down the altar of Balaam that thy father had and cut down the grove that it is by, Judges 6:25. Once that happened, God restored the children of Israel. He can do that to us. I like how God does things, and I like how he gives the illustration of the children of Israel toward us, because we are his children. Don't forget, salvation is for the Jew first, then the Gentile. Minister with compassion helps spiritual warfare to restore a person in gentleness, according to Galatians 6:1. If you and your wife have a misunderstanding and you really want to get the devil mad, listen to her. Be gentle to her. Lest thyself be tempted. Have compassion on people. Christ, look at the things that... You see, I have to have compassion. Look, I was on crack cocaine, heroin, snorting, shooting up. All that foolishness God went through me, and I better be patient with people. I don't have no right to not to be patient, because God kept me on this earth for these 60 years through all that foolishness. 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 And he forgave me. Please forgive people if you want to do spiritual warfare. Prayer is very powerful. Prayer is a spiritual weapon which one hand is to the other. There are compassion. Prayer supports and completes the warfare. It is significant that the prayer and the arm of God and the scriptures sums itself together, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the spirit, Ephesians 6:18. Now, prayer is very effective, because the devil don't like that. See, he don't like when you're talking to your master, Jesus. I talk to the Lord all the time. I just talk to him. And then after I get through talking to him, I'm compelled to just start going in the Holy Spirit. Just start speaking in tongues. You know, and I just start praying. And I start praying. And sometimes I just plead the blood of Jesus. I just plead the blood of Jesus and plead the blood of Jesus and plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. And the more I say the blood of Jesus of Nazareth, blood of Jesus of Nazareth, the blood of Jesus of Nazareth, the whole atmosphere can change. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I love to say that. Oh, the Son of God who died on the cross at Golgotha, the place of a skull for us. Technically, prayers are direct toward God, while spiritual warfare is directed toward the devil. Did you hear what I said? prayer is directed toward God, while spiritual warfare is directed toward the devil. When you pray, you ain't praying for the devil. You're praying to the Lord to protect you from the evil one, because his son can protect you from the evil one. If his son can go to hell and take the keys from this dude, you can't do that. Run to Jesus when you commit a sin. You can't do spiritual warfare by running away from Christ. Adam and Eve, I really believe, would have repented if they would have ran to God. Yet they put some fig leaves around themselves, and God said, what are they doing running away from me? I don't care what kind of sin it is. God can forgive you. Forget mankind. Man ain't going to forgive you how God going to forgive you. So I don't worry about what man. See, if you're talking about pleasing man, you can't do spiritual warfare. Galatians 1:9. If I'm a servant of man, I can't be a servant of Christ. So you ain't going to be a please man, but you can please Christ. You can please Christ by forgiving others. You can please Christ by yearning out to him, and Lord, help me with that, this problem I got. Start going to the Lord on everything. Don't complain about your problems. Pray against it. In function, prayer and warfare are so intertwined that it is important to separate them. Daniel's prayers, initial warfare in the heavens, when Daniel prayed, God sent angels to fight with the territorial spirits of Persia. This informs us that we are not alone in this battle. Angels joins us in warfare. Prayer enlists the aids of these malicious, beautiful spirits, according to Hebrews 1:14. So while you hollering at somebody, screaming at somebody, fussing at somebody, you need to be praying over your problem. That's all you need. And the devil, he go, he praying. Let me go call somebody, get the phone ring, turn the TV on, let them get a movie they always wanted to see. The devil can do anything to stop you from praying. Don't let them stop you from praying. Speak to your mountain. A spiritual mountain is that which stands between us and the blessings of God. Ask God, Lord, what am I doing where I can't receive my blessing? And God will show you. God does not show no respect to person. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Mark 11:23. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you got the victory. It's not easy being a Christian. The devil attacks. Sometimes I had to get up and he'll hit the voice and bounce or electrical spirits. And man, my radio started getting hit and it shuts down. And I had to pray 4-5 hours. Then here comes someone calling and I got to do a deliverance. Then I got to answer the email. Then someone else is calling. And then the computer going back. Sometimes I have to walk away and just, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I called on you. Lord Jesus, I called on you. Lord, help me. And I do that. And boom. That angels. Use your angels. The way we cast out demons, say, go in the name of Jesus. One must speak to an evil spirit with the authority of God in you by Christ. We are dealing with evil spirits. Speak to us. Say, get away from me. Don't come around me in the name of Jesus. You feel something in your house, you ain't got to run out your house. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, he ain't give you no spirit of fear. You get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I believe in the Lord Jesus. They don't like that name. Okay, let's deal with deliverance and territorial spirits. Satan's kingdom is not divided, although we sometimes make a distinction between casting out demons and warring against principalities and powers. Our warfare is against the devil's kingdom. A kingdom that is not divided, there are ranks of authority within the kingdom, but there are also two separate kingdoms. When our warfare affects our part of his rank, it stimulates and affects the others, and then we know we're connected with Christ through our prayer. A terminology have involved someone of us who worked together in a spiritual warfare with Sister Durden and me, and we have seen so much doing deliverance and praying together. Jesus sent 2 by 2. When you're in spiritual warfare, get your best friend. Call, hey, man, let's pray together. Let's come against. He said, well, 2 or more gathers in my name, therefore that I am in the midst. There are strong men put in place by the devil over cities, churches, families. Christians have the authority to bind these strong men to watch a short phase and to go into the prayer to bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. And believe it will change your life. God sets the battle plan. This is true for both individual deliverances and for our warfare in the heavens. It is a mistake to fall into a pattern of a fixed method which leaves no flexibility of the leadership by the Holy Spirit. It is a mistake. It is a mistake, and demons rely upon that to deceive you. Throughout the Bible, we have examples of God setting the battle plan. Moses and the pursuing Egyptian army at the Red Sea in Exodus 14. Jehoshaphat facing a federation of Canaanite kings in 2 Chronicles 20. Gideon routing the Midianites in Judges 7. Joshua at Jericho in Joshua 6. The guiding principles for spiritual warfare is God is in charge and Jesus is our captain. Don't go before them. Don't do it in the flesh because it ain't going to work. Who has authority to pull down strongholds? All authority in heaven and earth rests in the hand of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The commanding chief declaration of war in Matthew 20:18 in his complete authority and immediately follows his saying, "Go ye therefore," in Matthew 28:19. The significance that we are to go into his name to change things with the authority of his name. Jesus paid a price for you in 1 Corinthians 6:20. You are bought with a price. You don't have to pay to get healed. You don't have to pay no money. Wait, you going to get a money to God? Yes, you sow a seed to a ministry. But don't get caught up saying that a pastor who's supposed to be a Christian is going to charge you and tell you that you got to sow something in order to get it. There ain't nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says we must sow into the kingdom because you have to pay the bills for the church. That don't mean get no helicopter or no. I would never buy a helicopter or get a Bentley. I'm not into that. I died from that. When I was in the world, I had that. I like a nice moderate car. I'm not. My mind is set on warfare. I done had Mercedes. I done had Corvettes. Jaguars, motorcycles, I done all of that. I don't need that. Bling, bling, and when I was in the world, oh, man, diamond rings all flexing like this here, you know. I got the 40 cal, gold 40 caliber, and spent all this stupid money acting a fool. I have done the foolishness. Nothing wrong with nice things, if that's what you want. I'm trying to plan a life for life after death. I don't have that long. I don't know how long I'll be here. Tomorrow, we are just a vapor, just here, gone. So we need to really understand who is our enemy. The man next door ain't your enemy. It's the demon in the man. Paul says we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. But why we want to wrestle against flesh and blood? The devil wants you to have that mentality so he can keep the thing going on. And the Lord would say, hey, look, it's not him, it's him, the devil. This is why the devil try to blind people from understanding warfare. He has given us the authority, and he gave them power, dynamis, against unclean spirits to cast them out. Matthew 10:1. He's given you the same power. He gave the 70 that same power. You have that same power. You have to apply it. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:17 and 10:19. Why is it that this is not being taken place? Because people want a quick fix. They don't want to fight. They'd rather go into a sacrificial offering. There ain't nowhere in the Bible for New Testament for sacrificial offering. It ain't even biblical. Nowhere you can prove to me that that's biblical. It says tithes and offerings. You know, the devil is a liar. And he has misplaced and he has misinterpreted the information when you don't read it from the Bible. The minute you open that word and you and the Lord Jesus there, and you say, Lord Jesus, teach me how to fight the devil, believe me, God will answer. Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and what? Healing what? All that were oppressed of the devil. All oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of the devil. And the devil is oppressing people. How is he oppressing people? You don't know anything about him. You don't even know anything. Well, who is he? Just he ain't no man with no red face with a forklift running around sticking people. and he's not in hell. He's walked up and down in the earth. In Job chapter 1, study it. Job chapter 2, in and out. He can only be at one place at one time. Christ is everywhere. And that's the authority that we have. We have strongholds that a lot of people don't understand what that is in spiritual warfare. The New Testament used the word strongholds is limited to 2 Corinthians 10:4. These strongholds represented the option of which men strengthened themselves against the gospel. Paul utilized spiritual weapons against these strongholds and did not war after the flesh. But first he had to bring Christ into obedience through himself, through his thoughts, and submissive to Christ. Paul was hindered in bringing people to Christ because of the problem in the church that no one knew spiritual warfare. He employed spiritual weapons, which are mighty to God, to bring down the strongholds, both within and within the church. Paul is now is conducting himself as a battle warrior for Christ when he wrote a third of the New Testament. That was a lot on that man. And the devil stoned him. They got mad at him. They tried to kill him many times because the devil did not want Paul to complete his mission. Paul did it. And we need to thank God that the Lord used Apostle Paul to give us the wonderful book of Ephesians to teach us spiritual warfare. What is the devil doing? What does he need to be bound? Why does he need to be bound? No matter what the church has, the keys of divine authority to bind him, Christ's church, through the exercise of the authority, can change the course of history. Satan no longer will be able to blind people, but if we bind him according to Matthew 18:18, and we believe that, it can happen. I don't like the devil. I don't like evil. I am not with evil. I don't want to get with it. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. It won't work. God sent his son, Jesus, and it is so sad that most Christians don't have a clue of spiritual warfare, of what's going on. I was talking to a young lady on the phone, and she says, Apostle, I said, no, don't call me Apostle. I don't want nobody calling me that no more. Call me his brother Emmett, please. And so she said, my daughter want to talk to you. And I said, you need to listen to this. It was like some urge me for her to hear me. And she said, I see him all the time in the room. He comes to me all the time. I said, who are you talking about? Gapadupidus. He always tell me he's Gapadupidus. And I said, who is that? And the Lord told me it was a demon. And I said, now you, next time you see him, you say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you go. She said, yes, sir, Mr. Overton. She don't hear him no more. She don't see him no more. We got to have childlike faith to believe. We have to believe that the Lord can defeat the devil. We don't believe that. We'll read it, but you won't apply it. You're hollering your fuss all day about the situation. That's not working. And it ain't going to work. It will not work. You have to engage in spiritual warfare and not give up. I've seen many Christians, it hurt me to this day, that Christians will give up on spiritual warfare and throw the towel in. Never give up. The Lord said, I will never leave you. I will be with you. These are some hard times that we're living in now. We are living in a world of chaos. We're living in a world of violence. We're living in a world of lust, hate, animosity. But there's hope through one man, the second Adam, Jesus. There's victory through that name. Acts 4:12, the Bible says, there's no name under heaven whereby man can be saved but the name of Jesus. Learn spiritual warfare. Learn it. Learn it in your life. Read the book of Ephesians. Read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at the confrontations of what Jesus did. And if you don't understand, ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. It will teach you his word. And when you get a personal relationship, I guarantee you, you'll understand spiritual warfare more effectively. God bless all of my listening audience here at LiveDeliverance.com. We are on right now talking on YouTube and on Live Deliverance at www.livedeliverance.com. Again, I want to thank YouTube and its employees enough to allow me to come on. I had a copyright issue, didn't understand it, but they worked it out, and I'm grateful for them for that. They gave me permission to, I can say, www.livedeliverance.com. There's a number you can also call me 24 hours a day at 678-701-3733. If you'd like to call me just to talk to me or some comfort, if you want prayer, just to talk. Sometimes it's good just to listen to a person. The scriptures say become quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. I want to thank every last one of you. I want to thank Sammy Osley. God bless you. Sister Sheila, I've been trying to reach you. God bless you. Mr. and Mrs. Rodriguez Baker, God bless you. Brother John Durden, who helps me, God bless you. Pastor Steve Lee, who's in our blog talk room on Mondays, God bless you. Brother Tommy, God bless you. Brother Tiro, Sister Tina, Brother Thomas' mother, God bless you. God bless every last one of you who support us here at this radio ministry. I thank the Lord for you. I pray that I have been a blessing for you. All I want to do is to teach the Bible in a simple way for us to understand that a lot of the stuff that we go through, we don't have to go through it. We can change the course of the world through prayer because Christ is going to come. I don't know when, but when he comes, we need to be doing the work of an evangelist. We need to understand that we do have an enemy, and this dude is real, and your enemy is not your neighbor. Your enemy is not your cousin. Your enemy is Satan. That is your enemy. God bless you. If you'd like to sow a seed here, please do so at livedeliverance.com. You can give a contribution. We are a 501c3. You can look at the top right-hand corner of the YouTube. It says PayPal. Or you can go to www.livedeliverance.com to sow a seed at the lower left-hand corner. If the Lord moves on your heart to do that, we would really appreciate it. And I thank God for you tonight. Remember, you don't have to take it. You do not have to take what the devil dishes out. You can bring it back. James 4:7 says, resist the devil, and he shall flee. I pray that you have victory. I pray that peace will come upon you. I ask that you go to your wife, go to whoever you got an altar against. Get it right. Tell them you're sorry. Don't let your wrath come upon your sleep and go in your sleep with unconfessed sins. Before you go to bed, Lord, forgive me. I say that every night. If it's a habitual sin, Lord, help me. Let God help you, not man. Man can't do nothing for you. Man didn't die, but one man did. And he wasn't a man. He came in the form of a man. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. And you call upon him in your life. Call upon him now. I don't care what situation you're in. Jesus of Nazareth, there's nothing that he can't fix. Shalom to you, and God bless.
To all of my friends, advice number 5, it's Rufy Rowley talking to you from so far away, but so close from the bottom of my heart. I'm staying here in the land of Jesus. I'm staying here in the land of the Word and the Lord, and I would like you so much to work hard enough and make a trip again and walk where the Lord walk, in the land of Israel, in the Dead Sea, and in Jerusalem, and in the Galilee. And I really hope that you're all going to make it again next year with God blessing. I will see you and I will meet you again in the land of the Lord. Bye.
Okay, we're going to get ready and start Reverend Chapman John Durden. We got a question by Dr. William R. Higginbottom. He says, good evening, Chaplain Durden. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Please give me your education before I go on. I just need your education, please. Just please. Not trying to be funny. Just take your time. I need your education because there's a question I have to ask concerning this. Education, please.
I have 3 master's degrees, sir. The first master was in human resources, but a major to be in personnel, personnel administration, where I wanted to be in personnel. And when I graduated with a master's in personnel, I got a job with the federal government. I was employed for 30 long years. And at the last year, 30 years, God called me to the ministry. So I went to seminary during my evening classes. And at the seminary, I gained two master's degrees. The first one was in Christian counseling. That was after 2 years. But I completed the third year, which was required. And I received a master's in theology. As a result of the theology master's degree, I obtained a position as a chaplain. I served as a chaplain at one of the major hospitals here in Atlanta for 25 years. So I was a human resources director for 30 years, and I was a chaplain for 25 years. So like I said, I have three masters, one in personnel administration, one in counseling, and another one in theology.
Well, looky here now. Now, I ain't no fool. I don't know this young man, but I've heard some DVDs and some tapes that he don't even have a degree, and I even heard him saying he can't even spell. Now, Reverend Dirty, now I'll listen to this. It's some good stuff, but you got to come real with me. You wrote that script for that boy. That boy don't have no education to teach like that, man. Come back, please.
Okay. I'm sorry. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, man, he's going to be down dead right now. It's not mine. I would not give credit to the Lord Jesus. And you remember the Pharisees, Pharisees, and Christ.
You're going in and out, Brother John. You're going in and out. You're going in and out.
I don't know why. I'm a face. All right, I'm a holder.
You got to move somewhere.
I'm a holder. I don't touch the metal and excite and tell everybody else. I don't like to hold this thing. All right, I'm just going to drag it closer. Can you hear me better now?
You on speakerphone. You got to get off speakerphone. You got to get off speakerphone.
You ain't going to hear me. All right. Oh, God.
Hello?
Can you hear me now? I'm off the speakerphone.
Boy, you sound a long ways, man. Sound you underwater.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm off the speakerphone now.
Can you move around? Can you move around?
I don't hear you.
You got to move around, Brother John. Move around. Get up and move around so we can catch up a signal.
Can you hear me now?
No, move around somewhere else. Keep going.
Okay, I'm moving away from everything that I need.
All right, right there. Hello. We can hear you. All right, we can hear you.
I'm away from the desk, my nose, and everything else. Can't see nothing but the chair.
He says, hello. Okay. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Oh, man, please.
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
You're going in and out. Brother John, are you downstairs or upstairs?
I'm upstairs.
Where? How close are you to the internet?
I'm right next to it.
Okay, because your phone is hard to hear. We'll battle it out. Go ahead. We're trying.
No, maybe I can speak a little louder. Can everybody hear me now?
Yeah, they said they want you to summarize the thing. They want summarization. Summarize.
Yeah. Can anybody hear me all right?
You're going in and out, but they ain't got no other choice because you're just wasting time. We'll just keep going. We got to go with what we got, Brother John. There's a lot of questions. Dr. Pillmore says, please summarize this thing and let me know that you didn't write this. Can't no man with no high school degree to talk like that.
Well, you know, I'm trying to answer you, respond to you guys, but it's so miserable. I don't know if you're hearing me or not. I don't know who I'm talking talking to you guys.
Brother John,
going in and out.
Call.
Yeah.
Hang up and call back in. I'll hold your slot.
Okay.
That's the only way you got to do this.
All right, I'll do it now.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you've been called to do things for God, or when you've been called to have a relationship with God, sometimes it just don't feel good. I mean, it's just downright uncomfortable from time to time. But in those tough times, I want you to...
Okay, can you hear me? Captain Dirt and Reverend Fillmore says, don't be fooled in that moment. I'm 87, and I can't teach like that, and I got a master's. And come on now. Now, don't be real, and we'll believe it, but you're going to have to lay something out here, because ain't nobody got a high school degree and can't spell. Man, come on.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Don't worry about the 60 seconds. Yeah, he can hear you.
Okay. That's all I got?
Don't worry about that. Keep moving. Just keep going. It's the devil.
Okay. All right. With respect to assumption that I'm preparing of the MSR teaching, that's not what's happening. You're aware of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't have any education either. They were just fishermen. God did not use the Pharisees as Jesus Christ for whatever reason, because he knows all our spirits. He knows our faults and everything about us. And he saw those fishermen. They were good in heart. They loved the Lord. And he used them. And guess what? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John didn't have any theology degree. Well, you had one doctor. That was Luke, but he was a medical doctor. But Matthew, Mark, and John, they were fishermen. But God saw their spirit. He saw their heart. He knew we can use them. And I must say, I'm not bragging on the young man, but he has the same kind of spirit. He loved the Lord with all his heart. Now, you got to remember, he was a big-time crook, about 17, 20 years almost, and he would beat you, shoot you in a minute, kill you if he had to. But he met God on a personal relationship. God saved him and dragged him out of that lifestyle. And he was sold out to the Lord completely. I mean, sold out. I saw him the day. Matter of fact, I'm the one that led him to the Lord when he was a big-time cancer. He said he was tired of the life and everything else, and God had me to bring him to the hospital where I worked at. He would come over there and sit with me every day almost for a year and a half. And all each day he would sit there and read the Bible from 9 o'clock to 5 when we get up and I'd take him home. And he'd be right back there with me the next morning reading in one of my offices that was empty. He'd read that Bible from 9 o'clock to prayer, go to lunch, come back at 1 and read that Bible all the way to 4 or 5 o'clock. He did that for a year. And finally, one day, God spoke to him and said, my name is Jesus of Nazareth. I will teach you my word. And he ran out there and told him, go down. He said, you know, I'm praying to the Lord. And guess what? I think that was him. I said, me. He spoke to me. He said, Brother Emmett, my name is Jesus of Nazareth. I will teach you my word, my son. I will teach you. You do not need to go to any seminary. I will teach you personally. And he said, yes, but he came and told me about it. And God confirmed it. I said, well, how he and God's still doing what he did in the Bible. He go around, he picked this one, pick that one. He picked men and women that he knows spirit him. And he says, I will teach you. And do you know every day, the whole year, he sit there and read that Bible from 9 when he walk in the door to 5 when he take off and I take him home. And God, and then with my last time, he said, Brother John, could you come see me? I said, yeah, go to this house. And you know what he was doing? He was sitting there, and God was teaching him. I said, what? And God said, tell me what I'm teaching you. He just told me, blah, 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 blah. I said, yeah, that's how you teach a godly. And he would turn around and say, you're sitting next to me, and he had an invisible chalkboard. And I said, what? He said, can't you see it? He said, I can see the chalkboard. God was writing on the chalkboard, teaching the Bible and everything else, all the Bible characters and his commandments and everything else. I could
Dr.
see a thing.
Dr. Pilton said, hold up. Dr. Pilton said, now, wait a minute now. It don't sound right.
I know it doesn't sound right, but it says God is a miracle God. God don't change. God talks to who he wants to. God save who he wants to save. God knows.
But he ain't talking to me. How come he ain't talking to me? He ain't saying nothing to me, he said.
Well, let me tell you, education don't mean nothing, okay? Well, he look at your body, soul, and spirit. You got to be sold out completely. When I say body, that's mean no fornication, no masturbation, no drink,